we missed a monster trade in January. It doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, we're the first to be fully transparent about it. It was a company that announced that they were launching a streaming service. They announced that in December. They launched it on January 4th, and then the stock more than doubled. We even talked about it here at some point, but we didn't buy shares. That was a big miss, but the price got so high that the stock, even for a stock that could be the next Netflix, and it jumped so fast that really the social arb opportunity we thought had passed, so we moved on. Well, some analysts agreed and they thought the stock was too expensive. They started downgrading it, and through a series of events that we're going to talk about today, that stock's price dropped fast, as in it was cut in half in just 5 days. Today on Dumb Money, the monster trade that we missed and our second chance to invest in a stock that we think could be the next streaming giant.
We are Dumb Money.
Three friends who turned $30,000 into $30 million using nothing more than Twitter and a zero commission trading account.
The suits that work on Wall Street, they call those people the smart money. That's not us.
Our goal is to help level the playing field for everyday investors.
We are Dumb Money.
Hey there, Dave here, along with Chris and Jordan. We are Dumb Money. This is Dumb Money Live. A little fun fact for you. If you invested $1,000 in Netflix 10 years ago, those shares would be worth around $20,000 today. That was a few years into them having a streaming service, but before they started producing their own original content. But before we reveal the stock that we're buying today, a quick favor to ask. We're on way earlier than we usually are. Chris had a scheduling snafu with his calendar. He's just way too busy for us. So we got up early. We appreciate you guys for getting up early, but we need your help to help get noticed by the YouTube algorithm. They love to see engagement. So the little live chat box this morning, just say hi. Tell us what stock you think we're talking about. And then everybody, whether you're watching live or you're watching the replay, do your thing. Smash the like button. Chris, Jordan, the question, do we think today's stock could be the next streaming service? Do we think it could have that kind of success? I know that, Chris, this is one that you're super excited about.
Dave, I have been on this company for 10 years. I mean, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with the content that this company produces, and I have been for so long. I think it's the most misunderstood content on television. It is just so misunderstood, so undervalued. I think the power of this content is so differentiated from anything else on television, from Netflix, from Disney. Yes, that's right. From Disney, from HBO, and all the other streaming networks that are coming out. There's just something different about this company. And I've been wanting to trade it and get in it for a long time, but I was really nervous about their streaming, over-the-top streaming strategy, right? Their streaming video on demand strategy.
Think about just the wide variety of content that they've got, and really engaging content that's kind of unique. It's not really what other streaming services are putting together, right?
Well, Jordan, here's the problem, and I want to quote the CEO. The company we're talking about, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's pretty obvious, Discovery Networks. When we talk about the bundle's been under so much pressure the past 5 or 6 years. The CEO admits, we are the bundle. When he talks about Discovery is the bundle, okay? What is the bundle? The bundle is news, the bundle is sports, and the rest of the bundle is Discovery. Literally, that's the bundle, right?
Yeah, so no, totally. If you're talking about which channels, if you're subscribing to, you know, old school cable or satellite or, you know, whatever you're doing, the channels you kind of want are the ones that are in the Discovery package. So if you're unbundling, if you're cutting the cord, if you're switching to some other way of getting your television, you know, your essentials then become Netflix, and then these Discovery channels, and then maybe whatever, you know, sports package or whatever you're into there.
Jordan,
and
Dave,
Apple TV, and
stat.
I mean, you kind of need them all. You need Disney. If you're trying to really cut the cord, it's kind of impossible because you really just need everything that you were paying for originally.
I think as an adult, you can maybe not have Disney, right? We've got kids.
I don't have Disney.
I have Disney and we use it almost every day. But I tell you what, I mean, with all the home renovation stuff going on, I mean, they own so many brands that have, I love Discovery. I think they're fantastic.
Well, right, I will also play devil's advocate here because I think that the Discovery channels are great, but I'm not addicted to any of the Discovery channel shows. You know, just looking at the networks that they have. Yes, I like HGTV, but I don't, you know, that's just back in the days when you would flip around on cable, you would end up on that and watch it, or TLC, or, you know.
But you know how many people do love HGTV. They love
And in Chris's these, household, isn't like... Lifetime your go-to movies for the holidays?
I need to tell you guys a stat, all right? It's going to blow your mind. How much of all TV, like all TV, all of it, how much of it do you think Discovery Network shows represent of all watch TV? Like in terms of hours watched.
Of all TV across...
Yes.
Just across things that are broadcast as television or also just streaming content?
Also streaming, I believe. I believe it includes all
just
streaming.
Things,
well.
Programming that appears on a screen somewhere. I'd say,
I don't want to 10%. I don't want to like stand behind that too much, but I think that's how it was quoted.
I would say 10%.
Jordan.
I'm going to say 11%.
50.
50%. That's not, that can't be true.
That's the, maybe that's of a quote from their
cable,
earnings, from their
maybe
earnings
of cable television.
It's definitely not 50% in my household. I'll tell you what is 50% in my household, and that's reruns of Curb. That's pretty much all we watch.
Well, I would tell you that, like, for 50% to be accurate, Chris, you're basically saying that people are watching these nine channels. No, that doesn't even make sense. That has to be of cable television programming.
It might be of cable. It might be of cable. Even if it was just of cable, though, Dave, like among people who had cable, because they don't have, like, think about it, people that are paying crazy money for cable, right? For them to represent historically, like before streaming, let's just say before streaming even, for them to represent 50% of viewership, does that blow your mind? You didn't realize that, right?
I don't.
That's
I,
what they,
if you had said of cable television.
Like
of,
you tell me that, and it doesn't surprise me. I know people love their HGTV. And Discovery
it's
just
not
has
just
like
HGTV,
random
HGTV,
cool
Jordan.
Stuff on.
It's well, not
I mean,
just
look, they've
HGTV.
Got A&E, they've got Lifetime. I mean, I agree. They've got tons.
They have Food Network.
That's my point originally. They've got such a wide variety of content that nobody else has.
What is the number one metric that Netflix promotes all the time? The one, if you've been listening to Netflix earnings calls for the past 5 years, what is the number one thing that they just hammer in that is all that matters? It's the only thing that matters at Netflix. And this one metric
it's
determines
the, viewership.
The entire
it's the
success
viewership.
Of the company.
Yeah,
what?
It's the hours spent viewing.
Hours spent or viewership. Do you know who the leader is across all of TV in hours spent or viewership? It's Discovery. It's Discovery because people watch those shows for so much longer. Now, you ready for another stat that's going to blow your mind? Ready for this one?
Yes.
Do you know that people that switch to Discovery Plus, which is their streaming network, are watching? Ready for this? Or they already are the leader. They're already the leader in terms of time spent watching their shows. But people that switch to Discovery streaming, Discovery Plus, are spending, ready for this? Be sitting down, 2 times as much Discovery as they were on cable.
Totally makes sense because once you're in the Discovery app, all the things you're being promoted, all of the other like watch next are things within their app.
What,
it's not like you're in network TV land where, you know.
The app destroys, right? Because you can just sit there and zone in on what you want to watch, right? You can just go, you can binge whatever. You don't have to worry about what time something comes on. No.
Jordan,
you just go straight to the content.
Jordan, they have a feature in their Discovery Plus app that you can like build your own mini channel. So if you like Property Brothers and Fixer Upper, you could just have those two shows running on a cycle constantly. You could pick
24/7
your
Property Brothers
and,
on my TV. I love
and
it.
Just
I might
have
do
them
that.
Running. And here's another stat. It's complete. I'm just all about the day to day. They have 55,000 hours of program at Discovery. That is not something that you can unlock the value of.
Hey, don't they own the Olympic
cable.
Channel
a,
also? A,
what?
Don't they own the Olympic Channel also? And so they're going to get a lot of Tokyo coverage
get into that,
too.
Yeah. So Jordan, they are the Olympic network for all of Europe. So yes, in Europe you have to watch Discovery for the Olympics. So that's a whole nother thing. Because is there a better year to be launching a premium streaming standalone service where you're trying to capture new customers, when you basically own the Olympics for Europe in a year that everybody's going to want to watch the Olympics. So could you even imagine how many subscriptions they're going to get in Europe from the Tokyo? By the way, Tokyo is an awesome Olympics. It was delayed from last year. Could you even imagine what a customer acquisition moment they're going to have in Europe this summer?
No, totally. Right. Okay, so we need to address, first of all, what the ticker symbol is for this. We know that it's Discovery A, B, and K. So are we looking at Discovery A, which is the A, the A shares, or K, which is the C shares, or B, which had a huge short squeeze yesterday?
Right. I'd look at the A or the K is what I'm going to look at, just because they're more limited. I don't think the Bs are...
And we saw a huge weird divergence of the B shares and the A shares because of that lack of liquidity. And, normally the trading volume on that is, 1,000 shares or 10,000 shares a day, and they traded some crazy amount yesterday.
So I'm in the A shares, and I'll remind everyone we're not financial advisors. This is not us providing advice to you. This is us talking about our decision to buy Discovery, which I did.
Yeah. I have not yet. What I know about the difference between the shares, the only thing I know, one stat, and that's that the A's have one vote per share. The B's have like 10 votes per share. And I think the C's are, they don't have a vote. So
yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And normally these different classes of shares track each other very closely. Like Google has A and B shares, and they're pretty much, there's a little variation here and there. But what we saw yesterday was this crazy divergence because those B shares are so lightly traded, and there was a short squeeze and a lot of things going on. And we need to talk about the mechanics of why Discovery stock just completely fell apart the other day. Here's what that chart looks like.
Well, Dave, I think before we discuss why it fell apart, we need to discuss why it went up so much. And I do want to get back to the fact that Discovery has, even people like me that understand the value of their content and have been watching this company for a very long time, going all the way back when it was Scripps Network, right? Like when a lot of the show content on HGTV was Scripps. Scripps actually acquired a company that I helped build a very long time ago called BizRate. Remember that one, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
BizRate out in LA. So, but let me tell you this. So even people that love the content have been very nervous about the bundle, because Discovery is the bundle. They are the bundle. And what is going to happen as the bundle continues to deteriorate? And that has kept a lot of investors like me away from Discovery. And the fact that they were actually going to launch their own kind of streaming Discovery Plus standalone network was a huge risk. It's something that could go very right or very wrong. And quite honestly, there was so much noise, and we were involved in so much stuff back in December when it launched, and January when really the stock started to move. I didn't realize how quickly this network would explode. So I wasn't really prepared to watch Discovery News every day to kind of gauge the level of momentum Discovery Plus was having. And I got left behind. The stock completely took off. The numbers came out that they signed up like 5 million subscribers in their first month. It was totally ridiculous. By the end of February, they had 7 million subscribers is what they released in their most recent earnings report. That's like in 2 months. In 2 months, they got 7 million people to pay. I think it's like $5 to $7 a month, depending on if you're going with the advertising light or no advertising product. That is mind-blowing. On top of that, they appear to have at least one hedge fund, right, that not only went in big, but went in big with like 5 to 6x leverage on a handful of companies, 12 companies, Discovery being one of them.
Yeah, Viacom was another one.
It was probably a big part of why this thing got pushed up so hard, right? So tell us the story of what happened to that fund, guys.
Well, I think the problem with the Viacom one, didn't he own like more than 10% and didn't disclose? That's what I read.
But wasn't it like a family office or something where it wasn't required to own?
I mean, you still have to disclose. You still have to fill out the form.
It was a $12 to $15 billion fund that bought $60 or $70 billion of equity on margin. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely incredible. It's like, we don't get to borrow that much margin. The most they'll let me borrow is 100%. They're giving this guy 500%. And all he's doing is going out and buying a bunch of Chinese big cap, large cap tech, Viacom and Discovery.
At the top, too, man. That guy was nuts.
At the top. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, at the top, who knows, man? Who knows who knows? Bottom line is it didn't take much to blow that fund up. When the fund blew up, yeah. He got margin called. Now, what happens when you get margin called, guys, and this is what we talk about being careful with margin, is that your broker has the ability to do whatever they want to get out of that position. So if your broker starts to see you hitting those thresholds to where you're falling below the equity threshold to pay them back, especially when you're 5 to 6x margined, the broker's going to be like, you know what? The best thing to do for you would be to sell this off slowly as to not crash the market. But the best thing to do for us is just to put these big block sales out there, and you're going to get this stock's going to get crushed, but we'll probably still be able to get all of our money. And we don't really care if you all of your money, because those are the rules, man. And that's what they did. They went out and put these massive big block sales, meaning they were soliciting huge blocks of Discovery and Viacom and a dozen other companies that was trading. At any price, we just need to get out of this. We want out of this today. Probably someone in the bank that was handing them that margin woke up. Someone in risk management actually woke up from, 6 months of sleep when they weren't paying attention and said, OMG, I need this. We need our money today, because otherwise I'm going to be fired tomorrow if we don't get our money out today. Like, not tomorrow, we need it today. So do they sell?
Chris, how does this work? Do they, like, with these banks have, like, risk management where they're looking at these things constantly? I mean, you would think they would have to, right?
Risk management.
What is our exposure?
They technically do.
$50 billion in exposure? Are you kidding me? Like, that's a problem.
It's risk management versus the greed department. So I guess there's some war there.
Right, because, like, they're making, like, 2, 3% on this tops? Like, what? Why would they want to have that much exposure?
Jordan, 2-3% on like $20 billion is a lot. No, I don't know.
No, it's a lot of money, right? But wouldn't you rather spread that around to, you know, a bunch of people than have it concentrated in one crazy
office? If you're the guy that gets bonus off of how much 2% money you make, and you have the opportunity to deliver $20 billion of 2% money to a whale. And you could do it.
Yeah, until you blow a quarter of that up.
But Jordan, you don't get blown up if you're the guy. The investors in Citigroup get bought up. Like, yeah. He loses, but he's making so much money, he doesn't care. It's like you can't claw that money back from him. Well, I got a little too aggressive. Yeah. You can't claw it back from him. This is what happened in 2008. Remember, guys?
And 5X, things can get real hairy
But listen, at the end of the day, Jordan, he gets to block sell. The risk management horn's like, I don't care. We'll just sell this stuff. We'll cut the stock in half.
They liquidated.
So when I saw this, I was like, how often do you get a second chance like this when something happens, right? Now, you could make a case that this stock should never have run up that high. And I don't really look at price. I'm not necessarily focused on that. But I couldn't avoid the fact that we had a 50% haircut on a stock that I love.
On a stock that you actually love the underlying of what they're doing and what the service they're doing and the sign-up rates they're getting and all of these things that say, hey, this is a company that I would like to invest in. But when it had already, it was up 150% at its top,
well,
right?
What I like about this story is that they've been telling us they were going to do this for years, right? And so their CEO has been on news networks saying, like, this is what's happening, right? And we see the cord cutters. We know our share of cable is going to be, yeah, well, the share stays the same, but the number of subscribers is going to keep plummeting. And that's exactly what's happened. So he's basically called the future over the past couple of years.
But Jordan, wouldn't you be afraid on
the Plus product?
But Jordan, listen, I was afraid to buy the stock because I really was concerned of too many streaming providers. We have Netflix, right? We have HBO Plus. We have Disney.
Right.
We have Apple. We have Peacock. There are just so many, and there are more coming out that when I heard that Discovery Plus was going to launch in December, I was like, oh God, that makes me really nervous. Like, if this thing fails, this company is going to fall apart because they're losing the bundle, or the bundle's getting some kind of haircut every quarter, right? And they have nothing to replace it with. So guys, here's what happened. They replaced it with a streaming service that obviously is just showing growth well beyond what anyone would have anticipated in the first few months. And that's a huge positive sign. But not only that, Obviously, I already told you, yes, people are watching 2x more than they watch when they're watching it inside of the bundle. Also, guys, the average revenue per user is higher on a Discovery Plus subscriber than it is that when they're getting paid from the bundle. And that's a really big deal. So now we're looking at a scenario where Discovery, quite honestly, could come out way ahead. They could come out a big winner. Not only are they making more money, they have over 100 direct advertisers on Discovery Plus, but they have first level ad data, okay? Because now they don't have a middleman. They're going direct to the advertisers. So they have so much data. They're just like Netflix to figure out how to best program their shows, right? And also, yeah, they have data to sell to advertisers direct for all kinds of targeting. I mean, listen, we all knew that once, if streaming works, over-the-top streaming works, it is so much more efficient, so much more profitable for the content owners, that when Disney pulled it off, what happened to Disney stock, guys? Went through the roof. It was like, wait, Disney can pull this off? Now Disney's going to have direct relationship with hundreds of millions of people? Are you kidding me? That is absolutely insane. If you're telling me that there's a chance that Discovery might have direct relationships, I don't know about hundreds of millions, but many, 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 many tens of millions. And who the hell knows, guys? It could be 100 million plus people.
We've seen huge adoption up front. I don't know if you've even mentioned the deal with Verizon, where if you have a certain level of plan, unlimited plan on Verizon, you get Discovery Plus for free, the same way AT&T was giving away HBO Go, now HBO Max. Those kind of relationships bring new customers in, people who like, yeah, I already have these channels on whatever else, my Hulu is giving them to me, or wherever I'm getting my television. I already have these channels, but I'm going to get this Plus version. Let me just try it out. It's free. And then once you have it, maybe you like it, maybe you realize, oh, well, if I have this, I can save myself $100 by canceling my DirecTV or doing whatever. As a sampling mechanism, these direct relationships with your mobile provider is, I think, a huge entry point, right?
It is, Dave, and they've been incredibly successful in the past. And they have one with Verizon in the U.S. They have one with Sky and Vodafone in other parts of the world. And the thing that the CEO said is they barely have started yet. They're not even really scratching surface yet on these massive distribution partnerships. They're still in negotiations on a few others. So it looks like because of the massive success that they've had in their direct launch, they now even have more leverage with these distribution partnerships. So they'll probably be making a little bit less money per subscriber on the distribution partnerships. But what will happen is you will get your Discovery Plus for free and you will use it. And then 2 years from now, I don't know how long these partnerships last. I think the AT&T one seemed to last quite a long time with HBO, but at some point...
The AT&T one seemed to be ongoing. This one specifically in the U.S. for Verizon, the offer I'm looking at right now is you get 1 year for free. And then it's a discounted rate, I believe, of like $7 a month.
So here's what's going to happen. You are going to get it for free. You're going to use it. That's going to happen. You're going to lose it. By the time you lose it, you likely would have cut your bundle by then. And you're not going to cancel Discovery Plus. You're hooked. Your whole family's hooked. Most importantly, your wife is. And let's be honest, most of the time, it's not just your wife. It's us as well. Like, I honestly love all these shows. I just love them as like background.
I don't really have anything on these networks that I love. Like, this is like background television for me. If there's a Chip and Joanna on in the background, that's cool. But for me, it worked in the traditional cable model where you're just flipping around looking for things, not so much in the I'm going to this app to watch this show that I must watch every week. There's not really that kind of programming on Discovery for me. And apparently, Discovery is boomer content, according to John.
They do have boomer content, right? Because they've got A&E, right? But I think all the generations, especially younger people with the HGTV, and I keep bringing that one up, people are trying to make their houses look nicer, right? And this gives them ideas. And so it's a way to do it on a more friendly budget by doing it yourself.
I am not worried about what Discovery looks like 10 years from now, 15 years from now. That's not my trade. My trade here is a misunderstanding of their content and how powerful their content is. By the way, another stat, 90% of their viewership, or let's put it this way, if you take their top 12 hit shows, and you know the shows, right? Fixer Uppers, all these, they're the shows that everybody knows. That only accounts for 10% of the reviewed content. Could you believe that? 90% of their hours viewed has nothing to do with their top 12 shows. That is pretty amazing. And that's how deep, that's when I go back to having 55,000 hours of content. When you think about Netflix, what is the biggest complaint about Netflix? It's that, hey, they really don't have that much really great content. Now, I kind of disagree. I think they have plenty of great content, but people rip on them because they spend so much time watching Netflix, and eventually you find yourself searching for like junky movies and just shows you really didn't want to watch. Discovery actually has a crazy amount of addictively good content across a really broad spectrum of interest. So, you know, they have the largest library of crime. They have the largest library of paranormal. They have the largest library of food content, okay? Now, these are things that really hook people in, and I'm telling you, once you're on it, you're not going to want to get rid of it because it is all the other stuff, guys. And who knows how it plays out. In 10 years, maybe people aren't interested in that type of content, or maybe it lives on YouTube, right? And maybe it lives on other free platforms. But the next, I would say, 2 to 3 years, I think people don't really appreciate how sticky this content is. And people's willingness to pay for it. Dave, one of the things I always like to do is my favorite word on Twitter. I think I've talked about this a few times in the past. My favorite word is obsessed. And I like to combine the word obsessed with things that I'm researching to see the degree of interest, how deep the interest is. Is it really exciting people? And one of the things I looked at was just obsessed Discovery Plus. And I read quite a few comments, and it really was fun reading all the comments of people who were completely obsessed with this show or that show or just Discovery Plus in general. Like, people are like, oh my gosh, I cannot live without Discovery Plus. Like, it's my new favorite thing in the entire world. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. And the thing is, you know, the way that you kind of leave HGTV on sometimes in the background, if it's a Saturday or Sunday, and the TV, you're the type of person that has a TV on your house, you just kind of put it to one of those networks.
That's what those networks
are. I think people are just doing that with the Discovery Plus app, right? And the Discovery Plus app, once you have it open, unless you're watching a movie on a Friday night, or unless you're watching some, you know, sports, or unless you're specifically trying to watch a very specific show that you have in mind, or you really want to sit down in the evening and watch a specific show, the Discovery Plus app is just kind of like your TV app that you're going, unless you're watching the morning show like you do, Dave. It's just the app that you have open, right? And so, like,
see,
maybe
as a background app, yes, but when I sit down to watch TV, I'm going to watch specific programming now. My viewership has changed ever since unplugging from traditional cable. I have streaming live television through Spectrum, which I get most of these HG channels. And then I have Netflix and Hulu because I don't want to, you know, I want to be able to watch on-demand shows without ads. So that's, you know, basically I have that service just for that. And then I have Apple TV Plus, and then I have HBO Max Plus, whatever they're calling that. And that might be it. I think that's pretty much all I need. I don't need to add HG to my mix.
Dave, how did you?
What do you watch when you're working
live
on your laptop and you want to have a TV on the background on a Saturday afternoon?
I just leave the live, you know, actual live streaming television on. And it could be an HG show, or it could just be, it most likely is going to be, you know, the ultimate background television during the day is CNBC, and the ultimate background television during the weekend is just whatever random sport event is on, just leave it on NBC all day long.
You might never be a subscriber, but you know what? When I went to go cut my bundle, when I went to cut it, I don't know, a year and a half ago, the one thing I tried to do was I was trying to figure out, can I survive just like Netflix? And I thought that I probably, if I can get, the Today, even though my wife watched the Today Show like you, I was like, I got to get the Today Show figured out. But beyond the Today Show, the only other thing that I have to have.
I also have Amazon
like
Prime.
Netflix. Okay, well, I don't, But the only thing I have to have besides Netflix for my family, not for me necessarily, for my kids, I have to have Discovery. And for my wife, it's not Discovery. My kids, I have to have Disney, excuse me. I have to have Disney for my kids. And for my wife, I needed to figure out a way to get like HGTV and stuff like that, right? So like, and I couldn't figure out a way to do that at the time that was super easy. They kind of had I think they had like a Go app or something like that, but it wasn't quite the same.
Yeah.
So this now in today's world with Discovery Plus, I could maybe just completely get rid of my Hulu package completely if I don't.
Really? I don't see that.
Why would you? Then you can't watch sports. That's what.
Yeah, why would you get rid of Hulu?
I've got Hulu.
Listen, I wouldn't because
I get all the Discovery. Like, I don't need to buy all these things. It's like a normal. It's like a normal packet. I don't know why you wouldn't just get the Hulu Live.
Jordan, I watch sports, so I wouldn't. I'm just saying, like, if there was another way to get sports, I would. It's a possibility to do it. Other people don't necessarily care about sports. You got to remember, we think of sports as being a huge deal, and it is to the people that watch sports. But the people that don't watch sports, which is like over half the country, I think. It's not a big deal at all, right? And they just want to get like Netflix, and they want to get like these random shows of it, like, that you make fun of, Dave.
Everyone has their own needs and preferences when it comes to television. I need live shows just so I can get the Today Show. If NBC came out with the Today Show only package for $10 a month, that's what I would get, because it's really the only live TV that I need. But it's nice to also have just random leave on television in the background, like CNBC and like just whatever happens to be on during the day. And I think here's a comment that I relate to personally. Background TV is YouTube or Hulu Live. YouTube is the go-to for me now, just when I want to just have something recommended to me that is either a 10-minute clip or a 20-minute clip or a 5-minute thing. YouTube does such a good job of suggesting content to me.
People that I follow, I've got like, you know, probably 5 to 10 that if they put out a video, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm doing it. But I don't just sit and watch YouTube.
See, I used to be that way. I used to think that YouTube was only cat videos. Then I discovered daily vlogging and, you know, watched Casey Neistat and went back and watched his old library. Then I realized, oh, there's other content being suggested to me that's actually good too. Like at first, when YouTube was on my Apple TV, I was like, why would anyone go there? Because the things that were suggested were just like all of the super trending things, which is, you know, I don't know, cat videos and animated stuff and things that I'm just not interested in. But then as soon as you start watching any YouTube at all, it knows what you like and starts suggesting up the next thing to watch. You know, like if you watch this, you're going to be suggested, you know, a video from the Hey There Dave Here channel. And then you're going to, if you're watching Meet Kevin someday, you're going to be recommended a Dumb Money Live episode, right?
You know, I social-arbed people like you with Scripps Network back in the day because they didn't appreciate and understand the power of the network back then of these shows. And I feel like we're back there again. And I'm not saying it's you, but I think if you look at Wall Street in general, Wall Street has never appreciated Discovery content. They don't understand because it's not sports. Sports is really simple. They understand sports. They understand news networks, obviously, right? And they understand big splashy things like Netflix. Finally, they get Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't understand Netflix in the early days either. They don't get this stuff because Wall Street is not, they're not connected to the Discovery content world in the way that 150 million Americans are, okay? And people all around the world are. This is a global network. That's another thing I want to really have you understand. Discovery is one of the most global networks there is. They have some of the best foreign language content that there is globally, okay? They have regional shows all around the world. They were built for a streaming standalone platform, a global streaming standalone platform. They are barely scratching the surface here. And I'm telling you, it's a misunderstood company. The content is misunderstood. I believed it back then. What held me from owning the stock the last couple of years was this whole scare about the bundle. Now, for the first time, I have confidence that Discovery can survive the breakup of the bundle. And that's the one piece of information that I was missing.
Right.
And I'm in. That's it. Like I'm in for that one reason, because I believe it's a misunderstood piece of content. And the one big risk factor that was making me nervous is now relatively off the table. Now, we'll see where they go this year with their subscriber count, but 7 million in 2 months, are you kidding me? With virtually no distribution, they're going to start advertising really heavily on performance marketing this year. They said, do not expect further buybacks in stock. They spent $1 billion to buy back stock at $23 a share. Nice move. They're not going to do new buybacks because they're going to up their performance marketing by a few $100 million. They're going to kick in all of those distribution partnerships with the Vodafones, with the Verizons. I think they're going to crush it with the Tokyo Olympics, with their sports channel in Europe. I think they're at, I think they have so many tailwinds. Also, on top of all of this, I believe that advertising is going to come storming back. It already has. They said the upfronts went extremely well for them in their earnings report. I think advertising is going to go through the roof this year when everything comes storming back. They will naturally benefit from that, both on the bundle, right, and on Discovery Plus. So this is a company I think just has everything going for it. Also, like I said, I think it's just misunderstood.
Chris, we are background TV. We are the future of background TV. Live
I'm
form,
not worried
live
about
content.
5 years from now. I'm worried about this year. This year. I think they have a ramp up. I think they have a ramp up. And you could make, actually, Dave, you're making a good point. You could make a point that at some point there is a headwind. And the headwind is YouTube and TikTok and all these other free, you know, new age streaming platforms that are going to combat the paid platforms. You can make that argument, but your argument doesn't impact 2021 Discovery, and it probably doesn't impact 2022. So yes, you might cause me to sell my Discovery after they kill it the next 12 to 18 months, and Wall Street is like, wow, you really did it. Now we got to talk about Disney, Netflix, and Discovery. So yeah, we'll see.
For me, it's probably less about the thesis that you have of this is going to be the future of background TV, and more about, I think it's it cut back way too much because of artificial pressure from a giant margin call, basically, right?
But it was also up because of the giant.
But it was bought. But it was probably bought too much, and bought by somebody who's buying at the top, crazy leverage, right?
And so I think it'll find its new proper range, and I just think that it probably was too much too fast, and there's perhaps a little discount. But when it comes to, like, you know, the way people watch TV, yes, it is definitely going to be successful. I just don't know that it's as big as you're making it seem, Chris.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Well, I just look. I mean, when I think about it, I just think that the CEO has executed on his vision, right? And so that's all that I need is that.
So, Chris, Wall Street Bets wants to know how much you've invested in Discovery.
Not a ton. I have right now, it's a pretty small trade, but I'm not necessarily done with trade. So right now, let me look. I have 7,000 shares, which is 300K. I'm likely to add. I don't really understand the full unwinding of this you know trade that just happened, and I didn't want to jump into all of it too quickly. And there's some really weird stuff happening with the B shares. This is a company I'm not in options, so I'm just continuing to purchase more. I don't know. I could see myself sitting somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million of Discovery by the time I'm done. I have a lot going on, guys. We've been pretty quiet the last 2 weeks. I've been doing a lot of research. There's some really good high conviction reports in our Discord. I have other trades I'm looking into. As you know, I'm already leveraged. My leverage is creeping up. It was down to 23%. Now it's at like closer to 40% again. So I'm trying not to over lever too much this time around. But yeah, I could see myself being somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million of Discovery by the time I'm done. That's certainly a possibility. I also have,
and that's
you
like
know,
a longer term. You just think that they're going to chug up over time, and see. For me, it's more of a short term. I don't know that I would want to be in Discovery long term, but I am buying some options just because of the erratic movement of the stock.
Oh man, yeah, I think you're missing the boat on this one, but okay. I like that you're in. The company, Dave, had what? Jordan, you know, you're more into this stuff. Like what? A little over $2 billion of free cash flow last year. It's a $20 billion company. I think they're gonna crush
it. Yeah, I mean they're valued
streaming.
They're valued under, you know, 10 times free cash flow. So it's like, or right around that. So I mean,
it's not
a
company
stock
right
now.
No, I think it's a stock that's held back because they are seen as the bundle. And I think they just solved that problem, quite honestly. And I think I before they come out with another statement on, you know, how many people they added in March and April, I'll probably be heavier in Discovery. Again, we're not financial advisors, guys. This is just us. Okay, do your own work. Let's poke holes in our thesis. Let's start talking about Discord.
And then as far as
comment go by that I wanted to address, and it was that there are too many streaming services, it's getting ridiculous. But I think the point here with the streaming services and there being a lot of them is that now you can concentrate your spend, right? And on through the content that you want. Dave doesn't want this content, so he's not going to spend money for it. But there are other people that do want it, and they will spend money for it. And that's what you get.
You know, Jordan, the CEO made a great comment. I do really recommend, like, everything. Everyone read the most recent earnings transcripts. It's really the best way to get a full understanding for what's happening at a company. But he made a great comment, and it was this. All of the other streaming services, and you could make a case that Disney's a little unique. All of the other streaming services are fighting with each other for this programmed kind of movies and hit shows, okay? Movies and hit shows, right? And they have to continue to spend huge amounts of money to acquire hit movies and hit shows. Discovery is the polar opposite. People are consuming massive amounts of Discovery content. They do love it. Dave doesn't necessarily need it, but a lot of people need it. My wife would freak out if she didn't have access to Discovery content. People that watch the Food Channel would freak out if they didn't have access to the Food Channel. Same thing with HGTV. Same thing with a lot of the other content that they have there. They don't need that, okay? 90% of the stuff people watch on Discovery is the 50,000 hours that isn't their top 12 hit shows, okay? They have something differentiated. So when you think about streaming services, people like you, Jordan, who are really frugal and cheap, they will skip from streaming service to streaming service for a couple months at a time, right? And they'll binge the hit movies and shows like they do. And they could say, I can't afford to have, you know, HBO and Peacock and Netflix and all this stuff. But Discovery is just there. They're just there. They're cheap. They're there, even being really cheap at like $5 to $7 a month, they are making more money from that than they were making through the bundle, okay? So Discovery could murder it at $5 to $7 a month, and they probably have room to move up a couple bucks and be doing way better than they're doing from the bundle. Also, they're losing less people from the bundle than they were before. Those numbers have started to go down, maybe because of the pandemic, maybe because of the low-hanging fruit that was cutting the cords or stopped cutting the cords. Who knows? But
people are switching. People are not stopping the cord cutting, but they're going to some of these services like, you know, Hulu Live and some of their more traditional cable-like services. They're just delivered in an internet format, right?
Yeah, and I think the bundle's
still alive.
The bundle is still alive, and it's included with a lot of the services that are replacing traditional cable. Your Discovery channels are all built into Hulu and YouTube TV, right? The YouTube, the paid version of getting live streaming television.
Yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, you know, I always ask myself, could Netflix come out and replicate a lot of Discovery content on Netflix? I don't think it's in their DNA. I don't think they feel it might be at some point they might try. But I think it'll be many, many years before they could try to pull something like that off because it's just, again, it's not really part of their DNA. And I think Netflix gets to a point where you just don't want everything on one place because it gets confusing. People have in their heads what they look for on Netflix. They know what they're looking for on HBO.
I disagree. I wish the unified search interface on Apple TV would get smart enough to look at all of the things that I watch across the board and then let me find what I want in one convenient place. And I don't care which app it's coming from. And if I have overlaps, which I already have overlaps in content coverage that I'm paying for, which is just, it blows my mind that I have to do that. But I want to find it all in one place.
It's not happening.
I don't want to have
it's
to go
not
to the.
To happen.
I don't want to go to the Discovery app. I don't want to get locked into their walled garden of suggested shows. I just want to.
It's not part of the vibe of Netflix. The same way that Facebook and Instagram.
I think we're getting more niche. I don't think Netflix would do a good job of creating a flip it or list it. Whatever, you know, that's a good show. Someone should come up with that. Love it or list
it. I actually
it
like
or
all the apps.
Flip-flop
I love
flip
having
it.
My Apple TV with different apps, and Netflix is different than Hulu Live than this.
I like it too.
Everything's a different experience.
Last night I was trying to find something to watch, and I had to go to four different apps to see what I wanted to watch. I just want everything to be all in one and make it just tell me what I should watch.
I don't care. Just tell me.
Jordan, I'm with you, man. And listen, not everyone is going to feel the same way about this. And that's why I love this show. Dave, you have your opinions on this. And I think that, listen, there are a lot of people like you. But there are a lot of people that are obsessed with Discovery Plus, okay? And yeah, that's why I'm investing in Discovery Plus. I like it. I think it's misunderstood. I'm in it. I'm going to get in it to 3x more than I am today. That's it. Guys, I do have to get off to a meeting. We have so much going on at Dumb Money. We not only have the Get a Show contest that we have to go through.
Which the deadline is up. We hope everyone got their submissions in for that. Yesterday was the deadline. We didn't extend it or did anything, did we? Because we have a ton of content to review.
No. The deadline was up. We have the Vegas event that we're planning for later this year, guys. We'll talk about that. I promise we'll talk about that on our next couple shows. We also have some strategic initiatives that I think the community, you guys, will absolutely flip out over, okay? We are discussing partnerships where we could actually potentially let you guys share and participate in some of our investments on the private meet, okay? So, like, if you watch the OG channel, if you haven't subscribed to Dumb Money, not Dumb Money Live, but Dumb Money, you should subscribe and look at all the cool stuff we did in 2019, investing in, 26 different private companies. We're in discussions with a platform where you might get to watch what we do in the private markets and potentially participate in some of those investments. So lots of exciting stuff. But with this exciting stuff means lots of offline meetings. And Dave, I have to run to a meeting literally
you
in the next
that.
2 minutes. I have to change.
I'm getting app suggestions and show suggestions from the live chat. So this is fantastic. And I'm going to check out this app that was suggested to me. And apparently I also need to watch a show called Attack on Titan. I don't know. Maybe I'll check that out.
Oh, one really important thing to say before I leave, Dave. The voting is up on Dumb Money Discord for the Dumb Money portfolio, okay? So Dumb Money portfolio, it's on public, okay? We have a $10,000 portfolio. It belongs to community. You get to vote on what to invest in every single week. There is a channel that takes all the high conviction reports that have met a certain threshold and takes all those tickers and then allows the community every week to vote on which tickers you want us to invest in that week in the Dumb Money public portfolio. I will invest in the top 10 tickers. I will weight it out based on which ones get the most votes, and we will reweight the portfolio every single week. So go to dumbmoney.tv/discord, but also go to our public and sign up for a public account under Dumb Money, because everything that public pays us for referring you to public is gonna go into the Dumb Money public trading account. So we're not keeping any of that money. We're giving it all to you guys.
And you
so
can go. You can do that by going to public.com/dumbmoney or dumbmoney.tv/public.
But vote. I'm going to make the first trades on Monday. So the very first trades are going to happen Monday morning based
and
on the voting that happens this week.
To vote, you need to go to our Discord group. And the way to get an invite to that is dumbmoney.tv/discord. And that's going to do it.
And the voting. That's it. Thumbs up on the voting. I think you just thumbs up it or something like that.
You use an emoji to do the voting within Discord, and that will determine what happens with the thing. And then Chris just leaves because he literally has to go to a meeting, I guess. Oh,
see
there
ya.
He is.
I gotta put my socks on, dude. I gotta start going, dude. I'm literally gonna be late to this meeting. I can't. I gotta go.
All right.
Later. Love you guys.
We're gonna wrap it up and say thanks for watching. Subscribe, like, share, do all the things. We are Dumb Money. We will see you back very soon.